In the great halls of USA Today, we assemble the newsroom's mightiest nerds. Brett Molina.
I'm so sorry for the producer of this podcast.
Kelly Lawler.
I will fight you on it.
Brian Truitt.
Spoiler town!
Together, they form the Mothership. Their mission? To harness their collective encyclopedic knowledge of nerdiness in all its forms. To dissect every trailer, plot twist, and game released for the geekiest of fans. The Mothership, saving the universe from bad comic book adaptations every Friday.
All aboard the Mothership, the Geek Culture Podcast from the USA Today Network. Thanks so much for joining us, and happy Friday, friends.
Happy Friday.
Let's meet the crew. I'm Brett Molina. I play video games, and my favorite Fast and Furious scene, character, film, whatever, is Brian O'Connor, a.k.a. Paul Walker. Rest in peace.
R.I.P. I'm Brian Truitt. I watch movies, and I think my favorite is Vin Diesel as Dom Toretto, because he is responsible for, like, a Dodge Charger being chased by a nuclear submarine and like leaping through midair and over traffic and everything and like saving his girlfriend and like pretty much defying the laws of the universe and doing so. So it's gotta give it to him.
I love how there was the story about the Fast and Furious maybe in space and people kind of like, that doesn't seem so far-fetched.
Oh, they gotta go to space. They gotta go to space.
I hope. Yeah, we'll see. More on that in a bit. Also, programming, now, Kelly Lawler is still at the TCAs, which I think goes on for, what, the next couple
Six
weeks
months?
Now?
I don't know.
Yes. Yeah, she'll be back next year. Sorry, guys. But hope she's doing well. She also said that Fast and Furious should do a spinoff called Molina Truitt, which I think would be more slow and agitated as opposed to Fast and Furious, but whatever.
What? What?
This was Kelly's idea. We should have a Fast and Furious
spinoff. She's apparently like spending too much time in a ballroom listening to like pretentious jerks talk to other pretentious jerks. I don't know. It's crazy. Anyway.
Anywho. If this is your first time listening, welcome. New episodes of The Mothership drop every Friday, and you can subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or wherever you like to listen. If this is your first time listening to us, welcome. New episodes of The Mothership drop every Friday, and you can subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or wherever you like to listen. While you're on Apple Podcasts, it would be awesome if you could write a quick review about the show. Not only will you help other fans who love nerdy pop culture find us, but as a bonus, we give you a shout out. For example, this is a review that actually came out a couple weeks ago, and I completely forgot about it. I apologize. It's from Left Coast RJ, who writes, "Super cool. Huge fan of Emily and Philippe, so stop by for a listen. Was so worth it. Thanks to all." I believe that was the episode from a
That was just
ago.
Me. You left me by myself.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Politics.
Yeah, on vacation. But apparently, Left Coast RJ is a huge fan. So thank you. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, they're good. They're good. We've had Emily on now twice and Philippe yes. now once. So yeah, they know a lot of stuff.
So see what happens. We give you a shout out. Maybe it leads to Flame and Glory. Maybe a cameo in Fast and Furious. I'm not going to say it's not going to happen, but I'm not going to say it's going to happen. Who knows? Try it out. Tell us what you think. It's all upside for everybody. Don't forget, along with leaving a review, you can get in touch with us on Twitter. We're at MothershipPod, or you can email us to MothershipPod@USATodayCom. On to the main topic, which you have probably guessed by now. Here's a clip.
There's two of them and $2 billion worth of us.
If the three of us don't work together, billions of people will die.
Your sister is one of the toughest, baddest, most capable women I've ever encountered. No one could do it better. My kind of girl.
I see what you're doing. You think I'm stupid?
Of course I think you're stupid.
Oh, H to the O B. When they lie, how they came through the block and everything that's fly. I'm like, I never claimed to have wings on.
Woo! We're gonna need cars and guns.
Oh, I can handle that part.
That was from Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw, the first, I'm surprised, the first spinoff of the highly successful action movie franchise, with Dwayne The Rock Johnson reprising his role as no-nonsense lawman Luke Hobbs and Jason Statham as English mercenary Deckard Shaw. Shout out to the transporter, by the way. These
yes.
frenemies.
Just one and two, not three.
Yes.
You're dead to be transporter three.
Yes. These frenemies team up for a mission involving Shaw's super spy sister, Hattie, played by Vanessa Kirby, and go head-to-head against genetically enhanced supervillain Brixton Lohr, a.k.a. Idris Elba. Brian has seen it and every other Fast and Furious movie yep. on the planet, so he's going to break this down from the big Fast and Furious expert role that he is in. Let's start here. How was the movie?
Kind of disappointing.
No.
I did not. I so wanted to love this movie because, like, so we've had a couple, you know, we've had Marvel phases and we've had Fast and Furious phases. We've had the first 3-4 Fast and Furious movies were all about car racing and were kind of dumb. Honestly. I mean, go back to the first Fast and Furious movie is kind of dumb. Second one's worse. Third one kind of like only gets better in like hindsight, but it's kind of bad the first time you see it. And so, but everything gets better when it's less about car racing and it's like it turns into like, you know, the ultimate G.I. Joe team starring in Fast 5 when The Rock is introduced as Luke Hobbs is like, you know, kind of like he's a lawman going after our anti-heroes. And then, you know, we have 6, 7, and 8. Everybody's teaming up. Everybody's going rogue. You know, poor Dom's like a bad guy. He has to be a bad guy for like half of Fate of the Furious. Working with Charlize Theron, you know, it's just so much kind of like craziness kind of goes on, and so you, it's a high bar of like ridiculous action and, you know, character melodrama and just over the top everything, and this movie, like, it lives up to the Fast and Furious Presents part, but it's also like part of a Mission Impossible film, you know, like the first like half is all about like spycraft and stuff, and then it's also like, you know, there's also a superhero element because Brixton Lohr's is like genetically enhanced super guy. And, you know, kind of like he has like an onboard weapon, you know, like targeting system and his eyeballs. And like, he's like, oh yeah, he's just like a super villain. And, but it doesn't really turn into a Fast and Furious movie until the end. Cause you got all this other stuff kind of going on. And then it's like, somebody's like, oh, we need like cars. And then we got this whole thing like on the Isle of Samoa where Hobbs is from, and it turns into a Fast and Furious movie with like vehicular mayhem and explosions and Dwayne Johnson playing tug of war with a helicopter. So it forgets what it is until later because it tries to do its own thing, and then it gets to the point of like, oh well, we're kind of this other thing too, and it just does, it gets lost trying to like, you know, kind of carve out its own niche. Whereas it loses a lot of the kind of the cool stuff that the Fast and Furious movies have. I think, you know, Vin Diesel's not in it. You kind of miss him. The thing about you go back to like the Fast and Furious movie, I think number 2, it was like the Brian O'Connor movie. Vin Diesel wasn't really in it,
mm-hmm.
but it was more about Brian O'Connor. And then you had like Tyrese is in it. Ludacris is in it. You had a lot, you know, you kind of, there was a building out of the world, but it was kind of terrible. And then you had Tokyo Drift, which is the third movie, which is like in Japan. And none of the other people, not like Vin's not in it. Paul Walker's not in it. And again, you like, well, no, well, Vin is in it like barely, but you miss him because these movies are kind of built on like the family they've set up. And, you know, the always growing family they've set up around Dom. And Luke was part of that. And then Deckard Shaw became part of that. Even though Deckard Shaw killed Han, and that's a whole other thing. Yeah, but it kind of misses that because although the Rock and Statham really have a cool chemistry, and I really like Vanessa Shaw's character, she's kind of the best thing about the movie, honestly. But it's like it's missing that kind of group element. The kind of like the G.I. Joe, let's go kick bad guys' butt, save the world kind of thing. Where it's not as good with just the two of them running around.
So you hinted at this briefly, but how were The Rock and Statham together? Because I would think the chemistry is critical for this movie to do well.
Yeah, yeah, and I think the bigger problem there, they have no problem with chemistry. There's a lot of banter between them. You know, there's been physical tussles in previous movies, but more it's more verbally, kind of like smacking each other down, and it's kind of fun. After a little while, but like once you get more and more and more of it, you lose the novelty of it a little bit. And you know, and obviously they kind of like you have like the begrudging mutual respect after a while. You always need that tension between those two because they're on opposite sides of the law and they shouldn't be able to work together, but they do anyway. And I kind of, that's the magic of the two of them. And they get a little, almost a little too buddy-buddy, although never too, too bad. But another thing about those characters is again, they work best in like group elements. I don't know if they're really lead characters. It's kind of like if you were going to do like the Boba Fett and IG-88 movie. Kind of sounds okay on like paper, but you're just like, you know, it's not Star Wars. You know, it's just there'd be something missing, and they're kind of side characters that they've put in these lead spots, and they're really good characters, but I think they're best as supporting characters and not really leads, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know, it's funny thinking about this movie and seeing everything about it. One of the things that I seem to always think about seeing this stuff is Tango and Cash.
Yes.
Which kind of has a similar tack in terms of The Rock as Stallone and the no-nonsense mm-hmm. play-by-the-rules guy. And then
Kurt Russell's like kind of the cool, like...
He's a little more lax. Yeah. And I know, I can't remember if Statham's character's a cop, or I think he's a he's not really with law enforcement. I can't remember.
He was ex-military, and then they get into like his whole backstory a little bit. They kind of flesh him out. He's pretty much a criminal when we first meet him in, I think, Fast and Furious 6? No, 7. At the end of 6, into 7. Because Owen Shaw, which is played by Luke Evans, it's his brother, who he's the bad guy of 6. And then they like Dom and the crew take him down, and at the very end you see Jason Statham walk on screen, and then he's the bad guy of 7. So yeah. So he's introduced as a criminal, but he's kind of had a complicated past. You kind of get into that with his sister and kind of the whole Shaw family in general. So he's not a bad guy, but he is a bad guy. You know, it's like Fast and Furious. Like Dom is a, you know, jacks trucks and, you know, is a illegal street racer. But yeah, he's got a heart of gold, so we kind of like him anyway. You know, the whole franchise is full of like guys who are like neither good nor bad, but we just kind of love them anyway because they're like, we're on the, you know, the trip with them.
So you said Vanessa Kirby is the best part of the movie.
Yes.
Why?
She stands out amid the macho-ness. I mean, kind of like it is. I mean, she's kind of the only woman in the film other than like Hobbs's mom. At the end, it's probably not a spoiler because I think she's in like a trailer. You know, Kelly Mirren's back as Mama Shaw, who's a criminal and she's in prison and everything. But really, Vanessa Kirby is like the only female person mainly in the film. You know, she has a lot of cool moves and, you know, she fights well and everything. She has an interesting magnetism about her where you kind of believe the physical stuff, but also she's just kind of like a cool super spy. Female super spy kind of character, and she inhabits that well. She's something different than just kind of like the hyper masculine world of like Fast and Furious in general, but especially like, you know, it's especially hyper masculine with Hobbs and Shaw because it's constant banter between the two, constant one-upsmanship. She is a nice palate cleanser from them.
So disclaimer: I think Idris Elba is cool in everything, but in
He's
this movie in particular, really,
so much of this movie is in the trailers. Warning, a lot of the best stuff is like already been seen. Not all the best stuff, but a lot of the best stuff, like craziest stuff, cool moments and everything have been seen in trailers. And he kind of has a cool, he struts on in his first introduction, and it's like, oh, everyone's like, who are you? And it's like, bad guy. Just when he shows up, there's like inherent coolness. But it's just like, again, he's kind of wasted in this. Because it could be like anybody kind of running around like as a genetic super, like Terminator kind of thing. I just feel like he doesn't get a lot to do or say, or, you know, kind of like there's hints of like why he is this way and who he works for. The whole thing about there's an evil organization that he worked for. And it's setting up for like later movies and things. And like there's like a faceless voice where you're like, I wonder who that is. Because you don't really know who it is, but you're like, oh, is he famous or something? And so a lot of it's kind of set up for kind of going forward. But his character's just kind of like, here's the thing. So he's a guy who's like punches through steel doors, picks up motorcycles and just throws them around. So he's like, you know, he's like,
he's got super strength kind of thing.
But like when he like smacks around Hobbs and Shaw, their brains don't explode. It's just like, this Fast and Furious movies are not the greatest in terms of believability.
I mean, you've got a car and a nuclear sub in a chase.
So think about that. But if this guy is really superhuman, because we've never had a superhuman, you know, like Vin Diesel does superhuman things, but he's just a normal guy. But this is like a guy who is like, who is jacked up on like weird electronics and, you know, enhanced strength. And again, punches through steel doors on like cars and stuff, throws around motorcycles. If he hits some dude in the face, the dude's head's going to explode. But no, there's like fist fights between. And it's like, the dude's a super villain. He's not going to hold back. There's a lot of nitpicky things like that that like weirded me out with this movie.
I kind of get it, though, because you're also the one that likes John Wick because he shoots guys in the head, which feels like a very like logical thing to do.
Yes,
instead of shooting for the arm
logical.
Or limb or
and,
any of that stuff.
And the director, David Leitch, he like co-directed the first John Wick. He's also done Atomic Blonde. Atomic Blonde was very realistic in terms of the rigors of being a spy and just getting knocked down and just, you know, getting really bloodied in a fight, kind of the realistic nature of that. And then he did Deadpool 2, and that's obviously unrealistic. But, you know, if you are introducing a superhuman into this world, so, which is strange. We've never had that before. But like, there's always been a believability to a certain, you know, unbelievability. But then it's also, just, again, a lot of normal people just kind of doing kind of like cool things, which shouldn't be able to happen. But like being able to take a punch, quite a few punches from a guy who can throw a motorcycle with no problem seems strange.
Yeah.
This world. So it's just like there's a caveat. It's just like this is a Fast and Furious movie. So, of course, you know, Hobbs and Char are going to be able to take a punch from like, you know, a building and be fine.
Yeah. Well, no, I get where you're coming from. You know what show handled that, I think, a little bit better is Luke Cage, because you had Bushmaster who, you know, it seems Hobbs and Shaw, it's like it's computer enhanced. This was, you know, with Bushmaster, he took like kind of a serum thing and then
right.
he became stronger.
Right.
But it felt like he was getting in fights with people and, you know, he would obviously is clearly the stronger character, but it wasn't something that was so far out of the realm where like he would do, you know. And it seems like here they almost dialed it up a little too much. And if they had dialed it back a little bit, maybe it would have been a little bit more, like, you want to say believable in this series, but for that world, believable.
Well, and like we with the Marvel movies do a really good job of like, you know how powerful each character is, or you have a sense of it compared to others. Like you get the sense of like, you know, Captain America is like pretty strong. But like, could he take Captain Marvel? Probably not. You know, and so you get a sense of like how each compares to the other one, and they kind of stick to that. Whereas this one, you introduce like kind of a thing that's not been done before, and you don't really kind of like understand the rules. It's a hard thing because it's just like, you know, you have a franchise that has no rules, and when you introduce something that's kind of like. Kind of really, really, really crazy, then it kind of like there's a disconnect.
So is Hobbs and Shaw kind of the quirky, weird, experimental spinoff
yes.
of Fast and the Furious?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why?
Kind of
what is it about?
Because again, they're trying to do something different. But like I said, you know, it's almost like they forgot. It wasn't until then where they're like, we're Fast and Furious, and we need to do, you know, we need to do the Fast and Furious stuff. It doesn't really know what it wants to be. It wants to do its own thing. And it veers a little bit too far from like what makes the Fast and Furious stuff special. Like it sticks to the family. Family's always been kind of like, you know, the family, you gotta do it for the family, you know, kind of the Vin thing from the Fast and Furious films. It's more about the family that like, you know, you have around you, not like the familial, it's actually family stuff. Whereas this is actually family stuff. The Shaws are kind of dealing with like, some of them are kind of on the wrong side of the law. And then you have the sister who's like, you know, an MI6 agent. And then you have Hobbs, who hasn't been back to Samoa for years and years and years, and is estranged from his family, but you don't know why until kind of like later on. You can have like the heart-to-hearts that like Vin and Paul Walker used to have that were kind of like cool, like just kind of the bro-y moments where, you know, amid all the crazy action, it was just about like two dudes who kind of like need to understand each other a little bit more. But And you have that a little bit, but they don't make enough of it. It's just like there's, you have Hobbs talking to Shaw's sister about a lot of this stuff. But it should be like Hobbs talking to his, you know, his mom or, you know, his sister having a real big heart to heart with Deckard, which happens a little bit, but it's just not enough. And it's just like, I feel like they could have dialed back a lot of the action and just kind of like did a little bit more of the heart that kind of Vasimir movies have done before about kind of like the, you know, coming to an understanding of like and the redemption and that sort of angle. Again, Deckard Shaw talks a little bit about, you know, like talked about like the fact that he killed Han and like kind of pissed off all of Dom's friends. But yet Dom's crew kind of welcomes him into the family because, you know, he kind of like works with them in against like Charlize Theron in the last movie. So you almost forget about the fact that like, oh, yeah, he just killed our best friend like a few movies ago. And that's OK. But he makes mention of like, you know, making amends and stuff. But he doesn't like point out the fact, oh, yeah, I mean, you know, these guys I've been hanging with, I killed their buddy. And, you know, I'm kind of. I'm trying to make it up for, yeah, it's just like, I'm trying to make up for that. Where it's just kind of like, that would have felt kind of more Fast and Furious-y rather than just kind of like these grand statements of like redemption.
So obviously lots of crazy stuff happens in this franchise.
Yep.
In this movie in particular, without giving anything away, what is the craziest thing that you saw?
There's a lot of cool stuff at the end with a lot of like, it's like a lot of Fury Road kind of vehicles, like these chop shop kind of like vehicular monstrosities, kind of like all like getting involved in a big chase scene with a helicopter. Hobbs and Shaw like parachute into a you know, kind of a Chernobyl-y power plant kind of thing. A lot of cool chase scenes, a lot of like, you know, the stuff with Brixton and Hobbs and Shaw has its moments. So nothing's new or innovative. Again, we have a high bar. You've had in this movie a muscle car being chased by a nuclear submarine. That is a very, very high bar in terms of like crazy shit. And this doesn't, I mean, there's a lot of kind of cool stuff, but it doesn't like do anything new or innovative in terms of action. There is one thing that bothered me more than anything. I won't get into the context of it, but there's one scene where Hobbs is like, you know, he's running around without a shirt on, which is fine. You know, he's, you know, the rock's muscular. It makes sense in terms of the hypermasculinity of the whole franchise. He puts on a shirt in the middle of an action sequence, takes the time to put on a shirt, and it's shown putting on a shirt. Why? Why, if you're like, if you're trying to save the world, trying to save your family, trying to save your little friends, hopping on a truck, gotta go do some action, why would you put on a shirt?
I don't know. It's a good question.
It doesn't make any sense. Like,
what kind of shirt was it?
Just a regular shirt.
Just a t-shirt?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then, like, a thunderstorm comes out of nowhere. And then, like, he gets wet in the shirt. So, and I guess they wanted that. I don't, but it makes no sense. But, like, it's not like he was off screen and then, like, put on a shirt or something. They show him putting on a shirt.
So it felt like they put the shirt on just so it could get wet. Yeah. And then he's in a wet shirt.
Yeah. And maybe that was what we're going at, you know. People may be like that. I don't know. But it's just, again, it's okay to like have an unbelievability factor. But that makes no sense to me.
It's fascinating.
Why would you put on a shirt?
It's a good question.
And that was like the first thing, like, and it bothered me ever since it happened. Obviously, it still bothers me. It probably shouldn't bother me. But like, you know, nitpicky Brian, I don't know. It bothers me. But that was the first thing I said to my friend as soon as the movie's over, there were end credit scenes, everything else, and I'm like, why did he put on a shirt?
How did he have a shirt handy is what I want to know. Did he carry it with him?
I guess so, but it's just like, in what, I don't think it was the shirt he had on before he took off the shirt.
Before we get into 20 minutes of shirt talk, let's go here. So, okay, car chasing
I mean, most people probably wouldn't have had a problem with it. You know, who cares? really. I mean, yeah. It's just like a moment. But like, I don't know. It was like, it was the weirdest thing.
So I'm springing this on you now. So sure. You've had no time to prepare.
Sure.
But top three all time action scenes in Fast and the Furious. You mentioned the car and the sub. Where does that rank?
I think the car and the sub's got to be up there. There's a lot of good stuff in Fate of the Furious. Not only that, the whole snow sequence is pretty amazing. There's also another sequence where Charlize Theron, like, she takes over like every car, like a whole legion of cars in New York City, and they all become like zombie, like a zombie army of cars, and they're all like doing stuff, you know, like going through traffic, mowing people down. And then they have this thing where they like go up on a parking lot and then all fall down off of a garage. And it's like, it's really, it's like, and then it's just like, it's total mayhem, but it's kind of cool. There's a sequence, I think it's in, oh Jesus, is that in six, where they have to like chase down a plane. I think they like, I think Dom like rides a muscle car or probably a charger or some kind of Mopar vehicle into like a plane that's like trying to take off. That was pretty amazing. There's a whole chase sequence in Fast and Furious 5. Fast 5 is the best of all Fast.
Yeah,
movies.
I hear that a lot too.
I think it's in Brazil. There's a really kind of cool car chase where they have to like steal a huge friggin' like safe. Like, and they're like putting like, again, there's like all these cars are trying to pull this safe like through a highway, and then there's like some like shell game with the safe, and so that's pretty cool. I think that there's a lot of car racing, a lot of street racing and stuff in the first few movies, but it's not until like Fast Five really starts like the kind of the crazy G.I. Joe stuff that I kind of dig.
So right now they're filming the ninth Fast and Furious film.
Yes.
What
with John Cena apparently. So they've like
wow.
Apparently they've like lost The Rock, but have added John Cena in somehow.
That's great. Okay, who do you want to see and what do you want to see? Because I don't. It's like, how do you top this? Because they always go crazier and crazier. But what do you want to see? Who do you want to see?
Yeah, I think John Cena is an interesting addition because it kind of like the superhuman like looking guy, the kind of The Rock's place before. He is kind of like a cool addition. And he's a pretty good actor. I don't know if he's going to be like a good guy or a bad guy. That will be interesting to kind of see.
Is he keeping his hair?
I don't know. I hope he goes back to the crew cut.
His
hair's
weird.
I feel
like I'm watching a dog walking on its hind legs when I see him with his hair. It's kind of just strange.
Yeah. I don't. There's been pictures. I think he's gone back to like a short do, which I think that.
Okay. Yeah.
He's got to be playing some like kind of military guy or something. Yeah. Because it's everything. I hope Kurt Russell comes back as Mr. Nobody. I think he's a pretty cool character. But just, you know, Vin Diesel is just cool in these movies. I say what you will about his acting, and he's done some other things like Riddick. I didn't love Pitch Black. But he is this franchise. You know, it's like a lot of this movie is on his muscle shirted shoulders, and I think he likes that. I think he's very much taken the franchise on his own. The Hobbs and Shaw is almost like what happens if we take him out? Because apparently him and I don't know if this is like why there's a spinoff, but like him and Dwayne Johnson like have like kind of had this like public feud. So I don't know if this is like a make good to let Vin keep having his franchise and let The Rock kind of like do his thing over here with Jason Statham. I don't get into Hollywood politics. But there is like kind of a hole missing where it's just like, oh, I miss Dom. Where's Dom? Where, you know, I kind of want to see what he's up to, what shenanigans he's doing. And like, I think he's got a kid now. I don't know. There's all kinds of things. But I just want to kind of see him back and expand like kind of that group of people. Add like, you know, I think that's kind of the cool thing. If they got to save the world again, you have like interchangeable pieces you can throw in there and like, you know, expand the group. But it all revolves around kind of like the family and Dom and everything. So I think I want that to continue because I think that is the heart of these movies.
Are they due, though, for a little bit of new blood? Because Vin Diesel's, what, in his 50s now?
He's in his 50s. He's gonna make these movies until he's dead. Come on.
Well, I know that, but I feel like at some point you got to get some new blood in here if you want to keep this going, right?
Yeah, I feel like this. I feel like I wrote about this in Fate of the Furious. I think Paul Walker left a really big hole, and I think you did feel that in Fate of the Furious. By the end, you're like, you know, it's all right, but I think like he was like kind of like because he died so tragically and kind of like and so young. You felt like he could have been like in these movies as long as Vin was doing them until they retired. That was like kind of an emotional hole that you felt in the Fate of the Furious. But I think now is the time to like add, you know, John Cena maybe as like that antagonist who then, but you know, who then comes around and he becomes part of the family, or kind of have more Kurt Russell, or add, again, like I said, kind of like add other people who can do different things that we haven't seen before,
mm-hmm.
and just kind of keep it going to space. I think there's been so much like kind of mockery about space. It's almost like a dare, be like, hey, you just go to space, and then Vin Diesel gonna take the thing to space.
Well, recently
it's gonna happen.
Yeah, recently one of the writers had pointed out that he isn't ruling out the possibility of Fast and Furious going to space. What on earth do they do though? What does that look like?
I don't know. I think.
I mean, are you doing full blown spaceship fights? Because then it's almost kind of.
It's like Armageddon, where it's just like they got to stop like an asteroid or something. Or you've got like kind of like some super villain who like takes over the moon.
Maybe there's some like zero gravity fight or something that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, like, and you know the Dodge Charger's like gonna be like on zero G, and like the nitrous goes off, and like somehow, you know, in space that works. That's the thing that like propels it. And you know they're gonna again. The unbelievability of these movies is kind of its magic. But like, there's parts. But sometimes it's like a little bit too much.
No, it's ridiculous. But at the same time, you can't rule anything out because of everything it does.
Right.
Oh man. Okay, listeners, your turn. What's your favorite Fast and Furious flick? Are you going to see Hobbs and Shaw? Let's talk about it on Twitter. You can find us at Mothership Pod, but you can also tweet at us individually. I'm at Brett Molina 23.
I'm at Brian Truitt.
And don't forget, you can email us also. We're at mothershippod@usatoday.com. That'll wrap it up here. Thanks so much for listening. Special thanks to our pilots/producers of the Mothership this week, Shannon Green and Natalie Boyd. If you like the podcast and don't want to miss an episode moving forward, you can subscribe to the Mothership for free on Apple Podcasts. While you're there, how about you leave us a rating or a review? It'll help other people find the show, and we love the feedback. If Apple Podcasts isn't your jam, you can also find us on SoundCloud, Stitcher, pretty much anywhere you listen to pods. Until next week, nerds out.
Later.